There is nothing in the earth so great or so powerful that you cannot turn around with your tongue.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join John Copeland and his special guest Bill Winston for a special re-airing of their message on how words have the power to change your life.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland and I'm here with Pastor Bill Winston. So good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Out of Forest Park, Illinois, they have Living Word Christian Center. He and his wife, Veronica, pastor that wonderful church. I highly encourage you to get there if you're anywhere in that area or just passing through. It is a tremendous time there. And we've been talking for the last 2 weeks about your words and about the law of confession. And there is a law that is in place when you confess the Word of God, and power goes forth. And so if you've missed any of those over the last 2 weeks, I highly encourage you to go out online. You can watch those. At your convenience, just watch them there live on the webcast, or you can order the CDs, the DVDs or CDs of this and get it because it's vital to your life. And also those CDs that we have that we'll be offering here later in the broadcast about the law of confession that you've done. Yeah. It's something that every person, saved, unsaved, church going, not church going, your lives are being led and controlled by words. And until you get a hold of your words, you're not going to have the circumstances in your life like you would like to see. And so I'd just like to go ahead and let's continue into this.
Well, let's go back again to Mark chapter 11.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back to the Old Testament. Mark chapter 11. Now, we started here last time talking about Jesus spoke to a tree, an inanimate object. He spoke to something that was not alive to the point like we are, or like a dog, and you say, here's Spot, and they can obey you. But this is a tree, and it obeyed him. So what we're finding out is that God has made it so that everything would obey us, would obey our words, with faith, and these things would obey us in the earth. So he told Adam, he said, he blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And the word replenish has to do with to stock with abundance, to recover to former fullness. Mm-hmm. It has to do with finish or complete. So he gave Adam a mandate to complete this earth, to stock with abundance or recover to form a fullness. So that was something here before Adam and them got here. So he's going to take the garden model and spread that throughout the earth. Now, if you can see, Jesus was doing the same thing. What he came to do was destroy the works of the devil. He'd come to town, everybody get healed. Well, now, where is the evidence that the devil's been through town? Because those who were maimed got healed. That means if they lost a limb, they got healed. Mm-hmm. Those who had no eyeballs got eyeballs. So where's the evidence of the devil's work? Notice what he's doing. He's making heaven like, making earth like heaven. He's now replenishing the earth. That's the same mandate we're under. Same mandate. So where the devil has messed it up, we clean it up. So what does he try to do? Produce problems that people say, no hope. Well, when Abraham didn't have hope, he believed in hope. Mm-hmm. He had some higher hope. So that's the same mandate that we have right now. And sometimes what happens is we tend to run from the problems, and not knowing that the problem solver is in us, that he's the one that now this is our time. When Joseph solved the problem that Pharaoh and his sorceress couldn't solve, Joseph got promoted. He got to be the man. So I think it's the same way in the church, that God didn't intend in these last hours. He knew that there were going to be circumstances and times hard to live with, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But God made us for this hour. You weren't made to be born back in 1812, 1492, back when Jesus was, or back in 600 B.C. You've been made to be right here, right in the midst of this terrorism and everything. Why? Because we got the answer in us.
Yeah.
We got something that the world doesn't have. And I watched that ship of Noah. You know, the worse the flood got, the higher Noah rose. The worse things get, the higher the church is supposed to rise. So I'm looking here at this Mark chapter 11, because here's Jesus now, and he is doing some things in the earth. He is realigning some things. He is being able to recondition this earth, do something in this earth. Mm-hmm. So as he's doing this, now it says in verse 19, this is after they had gone up to sleep that night, they came back by this tree that Jesus had cursed. And when the evening was come, they went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, he said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, not head, in his heart, in his spirit, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, just right there, this mountain moving faith, as we call it, okay? So there might be problems and obstacles in our lives that natural abilities cannot resolve. But we have an ability, through words, through our confession, through saying something that we believe, according to God's word, that will remove the mountains in our lives. Now, with that, if we say something that's contrary to God's word, we can build mountains, see? And sometimes we wonder, why is this happening to me? Well, it might be because of what you said. And what happens, and we're going to see two places, but what happens is people speak things and they don't realize what they've spoken has set up something in their lives, that a condition that is gaining momentum in their lives. And this thing got some speed on it, brother. This thing is traveling in their life, and it's causing some things to happen in their lives that are destroying their little dream. And so what we have to do now, we have to reverse that. And so this is what I want to point out. I want to point out that words are the very root of these things happening in our lives, and people don't realize that. Let's go back to something. Let's go back to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 31. All right, here's what it says. Let me pull this off. Here's what it says. Let's come on down here to verse 30. Now, and I'm not going to read all of this. What has happened is Jacob worked for a man named Laban. He married Laban's daughter. And I mean, he loved her to the point that he was willing to work 7 years. And what happened was he worked 7 years for her. And then all of a sudden on that marriage night, Laban gave him the other daughter. And it wasn't the one that he wanted, but he was willing to work another 7 years. So he did. All right. So he finally got it. Now he's going to leave. So he's prospered here in Laban's environment, and that's a whole another teaching. But he prospered because God's blessing was on him, and now he's leaving. But when he left, his wife took one of the dad's idols, or a couple of them, or whatever have you. Now, it says here, and let's come on down here and read here, starting at verse 31. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force by thy daughters from me. And with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live. Before thy brethren discern that. Let me get my glass. Just a minute. Praise God. He said this. He said, with whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Now, what is he saying here? He didn't know that Rachel had stolen these gods, but she had stolen them and hidden them away. Now, if we come on down here and let's go over here and look at chapter 35 and verse 19. Let's just look at this. All right. Look what it says here. Have you got it?
Yep.
He said this. Let's start at verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she had hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. Now, this is kind of interesting, but what it says here is basically, he said, whoever has these gods, let him not live. He didn't know his wife had them. But he, over here, this is tantamount to pronouncing a curse. And his wife died. Now, I'm just saying, something happened two generations ago that started something. Are you following what I'm saying?
Sure.
And what we have to do is use words, because that was the beginning of it.
And fear was the original driver
there
of
you
those
go.
Words.
There you go.
So when he spoke in fear.
There you go.
He put forth in motion.
My Lord.
The enemy's works.
The enemy's works.
But and we don't have to leave it at that.
We don't have to leave it at that, see. So now we can reverse those things, and we can do it with our speech. Now let's come over to James chapter 3 real quick. That's a terrible thing, isn't it?
It is.
And I'm only saying that people will say things that they really don't mean any harm, but they say, you know, son, you're just turning out just like your daddy. Your daddy wasn't much, and you're not going to be much either, and so forth. No, they say that out of anger or whatever have you. But these are words. These are words that are not words of life. These are words of death.
Just on a physical level, the emotional scars on a child.
That's exactly
from
right.
From saying that.
That's exactly right.
And then you take into the spiritual ramifications
I'm
of that.
You.
That's a double whammy. You know? I mean, they're destined to failure unless somebody gets a hold of them and teaches them what we're teaching them.
You've got to teach them what we're teaching them. And then, if somebody's loose some words, you know, just say, praise God, I'm canceling that right now in Jesus' name. I'm speaking life over this boy. This boy will turn out to be he's going to be a nation's president. Praise God. He's going to, so forth and so on. I mean, start speaking life over that situation. Mm-hmm. Break the power of that thing. Because the enemy is waiting on words. He is waiting on them.
Yes.
Ain't that something? All right, let's look here at James chapter 3. And look what it says in verse 4. Behold, the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, it's a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the enemy. So he's after that tongue because he knows the power is coming through that speech and those words. And so he's after that. And so it's saying this thing can be set on fire of hell. So he's saying, though a big fire is out there, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, my granddad lived in Georgia, in the country. You know, he was a farmer and had a big farm down there and lived in the country. And I guess once a year or so when we were very young, my dad and mom, I guess they wanted summertime, they wanted to have a break, and they would have us to go to my granddad's house, okay, and they would deposit us down there. Praise God. And so we would be there. Now, my granddad would get up, and sometimes this would be during the Christmas holidays or something, and it would be cold, so he would get up to light the fire. Now, they wouldn't have, when I was very young, they didn't have electricity. While I was still going down there, they had finally got electricity there, mm-hmm. but it was way back in the country. And he would take this fire and light it. Now, I remember that he'd get some little splinters of wood that he called kindling. Now, when I was a Boy Scout, that's what we use and so forth. Now, kindling usually comes from a tree that has some sap on it. Now, I'm not talking about people now. Praise God. Yeah, pitch pine. Yeah. But it would be something that's easily ignitable. Mm-hmm. So you'd write that, and it'd just, you know. But then he'd put it in there and then put some logs on the fire. And that fire would start coming on up. But what did he use to start it? He used kindling. Now, once that fire started burning, find the kindling. You can't find it. Many times you can't find the source by which this dilemma started in our family. But I can trace it back to some words. I can trace it usually back to something that somebody said or somebody's fear that came in, so forth and so on. And this thing happened. Now, I put something down in my notes that I live by. There is nothing in the earth so great or so powerful that you cannot turn around with your tongue. There is nothing in the earth so great or so powerful that you cannot turn around with your tongue.
That's powerful.
Powerful stuff right there. Now, I don't know whether you wrote that down, but there is nothing in the earth so great or so powerful that you cannot turn around with your tongue. That the entire course of nature that surrounds the human being is controlled by that human being's tongue. Man. Now, this is what I want to know. See? Because now I got hope.
Yeah. You're not just blowing with the wind one direction or the other, but you can control the wind.
I can control the wind. Praise God. Yes. Yeah. So this is something that we should know. Now, let's go to Psalms 82 real quick. Psalms 82. And he says here in Psalms 82 that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Now, he's talking to believers. This is a prophetic word here. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Watch this. I have said, you are gods. And you, all of you, are the children of the Most High. Now, the way I look at that is the fact that when God created Adam, he created in his image, and in his own likeness. So Adam now is a creation of God. That means he's the exact duplicate of kind, okay, mm-hmm. in his image. I mean, if I look in the mirror, what am I going to see? My image, right? Yes. So I'm created in his image, Adam. And then he made him creative. So God created a creative being. Then God made him so he could fellowship with him, giving him his own mind. And you can't fellowship with someone below you or above you. It's hard to fellowship. You got to fellowship somebody in your class. You follow what I'm saying? And now God's created this man. But that was man. That was your spirit. But then in the next chapter, chapter 2, it says, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now we're talking about his body and his mind. Man became a living soul. Another way of saying that, man became a speaking spirit. Now what is God? Well, the Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit. So notice he's making you like him. And all of a sudden, a spirit made all matter. Now he's giving you dominion over all the earth. Everything in it. So now we're made to operate in the God class, speaking to things.
Mm-hmm.
And these things be able to obey us. Now, as I move into that reality, I got to remember that my flesh profited nothing. So what am I saying? I heard this story one time about this lady that came to the church. Some deacons were around praying. They're just around and talking and praying. She said, I need prayer. I said, okay, well, Deacon Jones can pray for you. No, I don't want Deacon Jones to pray for me. Well, what? I want Deacon Mayberry to pray for me. They said, well, why not Deacon Jones? Deacon Mayberry got some strong prayer. And what does she mean? Deacon Mayberry just prayed loud. See? And what she did was she associated loud prayers with powerful prayers.
Yeah.
See? Strong prayers. Now, that's the flesh trying to participate. See, the you got to pray out of your spirit. And that's why even we can pray a heavenly language. It comes out of our spirit. Hannah whispered. God still heard. And this is what it says. Let's go to it. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John in chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. Now, I have no problem with trying to feel something. But I'm not going on whether I felt something as to whether God heard me. I'm going based on the words that I spoke. Now, watch this verse. This verse is found in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, meaning God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desire of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no feeling.
Well, there's a key there. There's a key there. If we pray according to his will, how do we know his will? It's right there.
Right here in his word. So a lot of people have been busy praying the problem. Oh, Lord. Now, the Bible says he knows what we have need of before we ask him. So what we have to do is return his word back to him. God is going to answer himself. He's going to answer his word. This is a powerful thing. So how do I know he heard me? Because I prayed his will. Oh, Jesus. When I was down one time at ORU, and my wife and I, she was looking for a job at that time, and things just stacked up on me and so forth. And here I was. I said, Lord, I got some things that I need. He said, well, why don't you ask for them? I waited till everybody left the house. I took a shower, put on a white shirt, tied just like I was still working for corporate. Waited till everybody left. I got down before the Lord, started just praising him. And then I said, Lord, we got to talk about some things. I said, there's some things here I needed. Do you realize I read that list off, gave him a scripture for every one of them. Then I heard him. I said, you had any questions? He asked me one question. I answered that question, and boom, those needs were met just like that. I didn't cry. Oh, Lord, prop me up on a leaning side.
Shake. Rattle, roll. Just praying from the Spirit.
Because it's the Word.
We'll be right back here in just a moment.
And He sent His Word to heal you. Sent His Word to save you. Sent His Word to fill you. Sent His Word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's Word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395. or visit kcm.org.
Well, Friday's our offering days, and so I'd like to give you the opportunity for you to sow into this ministry. I want you to pray about it, see what the Lord would have you do. Partners, friends, we appreciate so much your support for this ministry over the years. Without you, we wouldn't be on here doing, being able to bring you this word, so I deeply want to thank you for that. Pastor, I'd like for you to pray over the people's giving today,
okay.
And we'll just receive those offerings.
Right. I just want to mention, first of all, my wife and I and our church has been partners with Kenneth Copeland Ministries as long as we've had ministry.
Praise God.
And that is one of the things that we've done. We've drawn from the anointing that's on this ministry by sowing into this ground, and the anointing has come on our ministry so we could accelerate our growth, and it has happened.
Praise
so
God.
This is good soil. I'm going to pray over the offering. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and thank you for every person that's sowing seed into this ministry. We pray that that return come to them quickly, and we pray, Lord, that as they give, you measure it back to them 100-fold, even 1,000 times more right now. Father, we thank you that whatever need they're sowing for, that need is met. And we thank you and agree that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, I'd like for you to tell us about what's going on there with your church there in the Chicago area.
All right, praise
Park.
God.
I know you got a lot happening there.
A lot happening. Well, one of the things we have that's unique is a business school. We have a Christian business school, only one like it in the country. And they can even enroll online. Now we've got it online. So it's called the Joseph School of Business. And you can get to it by going to BWM.org.
Now the business is coming out of there having huge success.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, grace has been on people. McDonald's been giving them restaurants free of charge, so forth and so on. I mean, it's just amazing.
So I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure to be here. We've had a great time. Hopefully you've been blessed by these broadcasts. Let us know if you have. Just let us know you know what the broadcast meant to you and if it's helped you. And so this is John Copeland and Bill Winston reminding you that Jesus
is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. 2 weeks with Charles Capps. Praise God. Having working knowledge of faith, understand the intent of the Word of God, and release the power of God in your life. You don't want to miss a moment of this.
Energize your faith and change your world with the Word of God. Watch The Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps.
As time ticks closer to eternity, will God find faith in the earth? Make sure He finds it in you. Walk through the open door of faith, victory, and power with The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Step into your destiny through the word-based teachings of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Be encouraged by the real-life stories of other believers and so much more. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, transforming lives through the power of God's Word.